This feature of the Science News Radio Network is coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
With that auspicious introduction, so good to be with you again as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation, cybersecurity, all right here in the Science News Radio Network. Today we're going to visit with Matthew Hawes. Matthew is a go-to-market technical specialist and a fellow with PTC. PTC is a sponsor of Metrocon this year. They're going to be at the Metrocon conference giving some demonstrations. And before we get into that, I want to explain to you about Matthew. He's been developing multinational complex systems for over 35 years. Matthew started out developing and working in power systems industry. It has been involved in military command and control systems, process control, communications, SCADA, and we're gonna talk to him about all those very interesting things and many other areas of technical and real-time systems. He's a fascinating individual. We've been chasing him for a while, trying to get him on this program. We finally got him with a lot of help from Nicole at PTC, and we want to thank Nicole a good deal for helping to get Matthew on our program. So you're going to really enjoy the program with Matthew. And we're going to visit the Den of Strangers, get more wisdom from somebody a lot of us never heard of, visit our Fountain of Useless Information we have here on the set in the second half of the program, and, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. And want to remind those of you listening on radio, you can also hear us commercial-free online and webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Now, as I said, PTC is a sponsor of the Metrocon conference and is going to have an exhibit there, and Matthew's going to be there and a number of other people showing some of the things that that PTC is about. They're highly important, a very important supplier for Lockheed Martin and our defense system. So I think you're going to find it very interesting. Of course, anybody in engineering that was in the sound of our voice here is going to want to go to Metrocon. It's October 22nd, the Arlington Convention Center, and this is the 28th straight year for Metrocon. It has been highly respected, and it's a place to be immersed in one day in new ideas. The significant advances in technology are going to be revealed once again at Metrocon. It has been quite a spectacle seeing Metrocon grow over the years and how it's developed into this really intense one-day conference of new technologies. Right now, we're real fortunate to have with us Matthew Hawes. He's a go-to-market technical specialist and a fellow at PTC. PTC, incidentally, is a sponsor and exhibitor October 22nd at the Arlington Convention Center at Metrocon. The IEEE and Lockheed Martin technical show that we talk about here on this program all the time. So we're real glad to have Matthew with us. Matthew, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you, Sergeant.
No, Colonel.
Colonel.
Yes. Careful over there. You could have said General, and that would have been.
I did mean to downgrade you in rank. You cut that one out. We'll start again. Thank you, Colonel.
Well, the audience ought to know that before the program, Matthew and I were talking about the strange names and about how we knew people named Major, we knew people named Sergeant, and so he had Sergeant on his brain. Anyway, Matthew, so good to have you with us. Now, tell us, you do a lot of work with PTC, and they're kind of a star at the MetroCon, and so I wanted to kind of bring us up to date what people are going to be able to see there and what can expect from PTC.
PTC is a large, globally diverse company. I do a lot of international work with them, and the last year I've been to 12 different countries in 4 different continents doing engineering consulting, training, attending conferences, and helping them out. So they're a large company, and they do specialty is looking at improved manufacturing. The way they do this is by making smart connected products, smart connected manufacturing, smart connected servicing, and they do this with a closed loop control development process where you start with, I've got a great idea, this works into requirements, systems engineering, eventually evolving down into hardware, software, mechanical specifications, and the systems can then be built. They have smart factory integration where the specifications for the systems can be integrated with the factory elements, also telemetered factories, so that that way you can have them operating at peak performance. And then when the systems are deployed, again via Internet of Things with their ThingsWorks product, you're able to online keep track of how things are doing, whether or not they're working. And then into the service portion of it, making sure that if you need to service a product, that you can do remote diagnostics, that it can do data processing, so that that way if you're finding that you're getting similar problems with similar products, that you can do some preemptive maintenance. And, of course, all this then feeds back into our requirements for better process products. And then the whole process starts all over again. And this is a continuous loop, and it's made possible by products like the Integrity Lifecycle Manager for requirements for model-based systems engineering, also things like PTC Creo, Windchill, ThingWorks for the Internet of Things, Servigistics for service support, and also big data analysis with the ColdLight products.
Wow, that sounds like a very, very elaborate SCADA systems, supervisory control and data acquisition. Is that what we're talking about here?
It's similar. I worked in SCADA for many years doing electrical network control, also some factory automation, pipeline control, etc. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of SCADA on a global scale, but also more of an agile SCADA. The original SCADA products, as you remember, I've been doing this going on 40 years, was all dedicated lines, dedicated networks, with dedicated systems throughout. These days, of course, for reasons of scale, flexibility, and minimal infrastructure addition, people are using the Internet for everything. And so rather than dedicated telemetry, we're just simply using the Internet with smart connected devices. And, of course, everyone's been reading about some of the security breaches these days.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the things PTC made sure of is they've also got security product that they are a company that they built that integrates it into it. So similar to SCADA in that you've got large amounts of data you're processing, collecting, et cetera. But, as I said, it's sort of the 21st century version of it.
Wow, yeah, you mentioned security, and of course that's the big thing with the Internet right at the moment, and those who are continuously warning us about the breaches in security say, you know, all the hacker has to do is get it right just one time. So PTC has built in some pretty high security features to these systems. Is that right?
That is correct. I mean, with all my, again, my background, I also worked on military systems, and the most important thing that you have to do is from the ground up, and this is part of systems engineering as well, you see what are all the different uses that you want to make of the system and all the different ways that someone could misuse your system, called use cases and misuse cases. And then you look at, therefore, what security aspects do I need? also things like safety, reliability, all these other elements. And these are built, sort of integrated into the product. If you have a system, there isn't a single box somewhere that says this is a security. It's distributed throughout the system to make sure that all parts are secure, and that if any part is breached, you're aware of it and you can take steps to fix it. So yeah, this is integrated into it, and when they started going into the Internet of Things and looking at smart connected products, that was one of their key elements, build security into it, because some of our customers are military customers, and if you can't do security, you don't get their business.
Yeah, I can well imagine. Of course, that's the big thing right now with the leader of China visiting with President Obama, and they're talking about cyber security, cyber warfare, all of that. And we hear people speaking about it all the time. But when I really get into the people that are in the know about cybersecurity, they tell us that the United States is really the top one in doing cyber espionage. So we're always pointing our fingers at other countries, but we're really really the best at it, I guess. Is that right?
Well, that we are. But we just use it to get the bad guys. I suppose that's the difference from our point of view.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, and it's the security and those aspects. Again, you've read lots of the things where, unfortunately, there was a child's monitoring device where you could have it both directions. In other words, you could listen to your baby. Everybody knows the baby monitors. Mm-hmm. And this one, you could actually talk back to your baby, and someone hacked into it and was shouting at the baby through it. So it's from the consumer devices point of view, people are suddenly waking up and saying, actually, this needs to be a bit more secure. And also, you've read about the car company whose product was hacked. They were saying these are vulnerable.
Yeah.
And then Wired Magazine actually demonstrated it. So now that's become much more of an issue. So they're looking at, if you're going to make these things available online, they need to be secure online. And again, I've attended several of the presentations and talked to the experts here, and that's what they do extremely well. My background, as I say, is those aspects for different types of systems, both military and civilian, and converting from the I've got a great idea and I think I know what I need, all the way down to a real life product engineered and distributed into the various aspects of software, systems, mechanical, electronics, etc., as well as procedural elements, because people are parts of systems as well.
Yeah, and a number of years ago, it wasn't too long ago, that the SCADA system in Iran with their nuclear their nuclear project was invaded by a Stuxnet virus, and everybody's saying, well, it wasn't me, but it's thought that the only countries that would benefit from this and had the ability to do it was the United States and Israel. And that and they're offline. They weren't even connected to the internet. I think it came in someplace on some equipment that they got from Germany, some Siemens equipment or something, pulled in with a thumb drive or something. Did you know anything about that?
Yeah, I've heard some things about that. If you ever want to scare a DOD employee, just hold up a memory stick. Because they're not allowed to plug anything into the USB ports. It's not pre-authorized.
Yeah.
And if someone accidentally does it, it immediately shuts down their systems, and you have to go sort of cap in hand to the IT department and explain why someone was plugging unauthorized devices into your system. And this goes back to that exact reason, because somebody found a USB drive in the parking lot, plugged it into their computer, and infected a whole bunch of their systems.
Mm-hmm.
And there are various theories as to who was behind that. But, yeah, it's for a good reason, that unfortunately, in the past, you know, where you had a floppy disk, they could have viruses on them, but of course they weren't. You had to actually click on them and make them executable. These days, USBs have to be executable, so if it's got a virus on it, it's on your computer.
Yeah, another sponsor at MetroCon is going to be Encore, who's the big electric delivery company here in North Texas. And Michael Quinn was on the program, and he was saying that they've got a secret power group that does nothing but spend all day long trying to figure out how to penetrate their SCADA systems and their other systems at Encore. Now, I presume then what you were saying is that PTC has such a thing too, constantly trying to figure out how to defeat its systems to keep it as secure as possible. Is that right?
Well, the security aspects have people, consultants who can do that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that is a part of it. But it's funny you should mention it. I actually started my career working for Houston Lighting and Power back in the 70s, doing transmission, distribution, and also power systems control, etc. So I'm familiar with the Texas power grid, and I always will put that forward as one of the most reliable networks because it was designed to do so. And back then, we were doing power projections 30 years into the future to see what sort of networks we need and how do we make them resilient. And it's why the Texas power grid is so good. And back then, it was all just simple, controlled closed systems and closed networks. And now with the Internet of Things and the rest of it, you do need to keep track of this. And the problem with the power grid is that, which means that you can get in anywhere and do anything, including having a bunch of people take shotguns and high-powered rifles and start shooting at transformers to empty them of oil, which you need for cooling. So it's vulnerable in each and every part of it. So it's a rather dangerous thing.
That actually happened in California, I think, a couple of years ago. Snipers for 19 minutes shot out the transformers very effectively before the police arrived on the spot. You probably know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Oh, I do. As I said, I used to do network control, and after I worked there, I did another 15 years in the power industry before shifting to different types of systems engineering. So I always look at those things with interest and look at why the systems work the way they do. And I always, you can get various reports on why system power grids fail and the rest of it, and you walk through. And generally, with most of these systems, it's a combination of things. It's never one thing. It's someone did this and someone did that. I actually wrote a paper on this, which was looking at causality in systems. And it was called All for the Want of a Horseshoe Nail, where this happens, then that happens, then that happens. You know the old rhyme.
Sure.
And it was one of the things that it did examine was power grid. And one of the main reasons why there was an East Coast one, I think about 10 years ago, failure. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that they cut back their tree trimming budget because they were trying to save money. And as a result, when the power line started to become overheated and zag, they touched the trees, and, well, that was the beginning of one of the catastrophes. But that was just part of it. It's a whole host of other mistakes people need to make. But, yeah, obviously, you can just simply take a gun and shoot a transformer, and if that is the critical transformer, especially in remote areas, that's it for it. There is no other way around it other than build in so much redundancy into the system that it's just not economically viable.
Yeah, I think what you're referring to is that tree, that the tree limb that fell on the power line in Ohio and shut off cascading power failure all through the Northeast, I think is what it was.
Isn't, there you go.
That was in 2002, I think, is when it happened. Anyway, you're in Boston right now. And
I am, sir.
Yeah, and the MetroCon conference that PTC is a sponsor of, is going to be October 22nd at the Arlington Convention Center. And I wonder if you're coming in for that, or if somebody else is going to be here for that.
Unfortunately, I had a previous engagement. I'm trying to see if I can come in, but it will either be me or one of my colleagues. And you and I were talking beforehand, and I'm actually in Boston for the object management group, it's called the OMG. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at the different standards, including, as I said, things like the Industrial Internet of Things, and there are several presentations on exactly what we're talking about, cybersecurity, as well as systems engineering, system of systems, and a whole host of other things. As the OMG likes to say, we were OMG before it was cool.
All right. That's good. That's good. I love it. So when we visit the exhibit for PTC at MetroCon, what are some of the highlights we're going to get to see?
Well, one of the things that we are doing is if the problems you can come in, as I said, I've been doing large complex systems for many years, and one of the issues that you have with them is they can tend to evolve over time till they become unmanageable monsters. So one of the points that one of our areas of expertise is through systems engineering, through system of systems architecture, you sort of step back and say, well, what do I want this thing to be when I grow up, rather than just start building applications and start pulling it together, say, okay, what are the current capabilities I need? How is this going to change over time? Where's the possible evolution? Therefore, what's the best way to actually start architecting the system so that way I end up with a system that's manageable, secure, reliable, safe, and is able to adapt to the future needs of the systems? And by integrating model-based systems engineering and the Internet of Things, you start out with what am I trying to accomplish, and then ThingWorks and the other products that we have actually make that happen in terms of the live systems, and also, as I said, with the smart connected manufacturing operations and servicing.
All right. That's going to be really, really fascinating. We're really looking forward to seeing PTC at the MetroCon conference October 22nd. Matthew, before we leave, can you give me a look into the future? You're a guy with a really dynamic background. So many things that you've been doing. And where do you see things in 5 or 10 years, or even 20 years? You've got a view for us?
I do. I think it's going to change a lot. One of the aspects that you have in any control system is you have to decide, where do I put what I call the system intelligence? Mm-hmm. And back in the old SCADA days, you had one extremely large mainframe that did all your data processing. All the data came in there, and then you sorted it out. Then it became distributed control systems, where you were able to distribute the intelligence throughout the system and do what they call front-end processing, and then that would be do some data processing. But also, if you lost your communications network, you could do remote control of the system to certain parameters. Mm-hmm. Now with things like AI...
Okay, Matthew, we need to hold it right there and take a break at the half hour. If you've just tuned in, we're visiting with Matthew Haas. He's the GTM Technical Specialist and Fellow at PTC. And when we come in at the second half hour, we're going to be back with Matthew, and I'm going to be wanting to know about artificial intelligence and security with the with the cloud and all of the other big concerns that we have with the exciting new technologies that seem to be cascading upon us very rapidly. So we're going to take a break and be right back. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. In the Den of Strangers, will we meet today?
Alan Green the mirror and say to myself, remember, this is temporary. This is not the way the world is supposed to work. Irrational exuberance.